another word of prayer, and then we actually have one more 90-second testimony, and then we'll get started with the sermon. So let's pray again, if you would join your hearts with mine. So Father, we just give you this time, and we just pray that this time would be just in your hands, and that you would minister to all of us, speak to us through your word, and just encourage us to keep on knowing you more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, John Tam has a 90-second testimony, so let's welcome him up, and he'll share with us.
Thank you. Hi, guys. Sorry I didn't share this earlier, but everyone's testimony seemed like so crazy with like breast cancer and the spinal disc and stuff. So mine's really small, but I was thinking like, okay, it doesn't matter how small or big the testimony is, God works in all different ways. So last week at our retreat, David Wing, most of you guys know him from basketball, he sprained his ankle from this tag game that we played, and I was like, oh, it's like nothing too serious, like he'll be good to go in like 2 to 3 weeks. So, but the guys really wanted to play basketball, and I know I was like really upset because there's like these random Korean people there that were also like hogging the court, which was like supposed to be our court. So long story, but we prayed for Allison and I prayed for David's ankle, and at first he was like, oh, I thought he was just like saying like, yeah, I felt better, just to make us feel better in a sense. But yeah, he got up, he started playing with us, and we crushed them. So yeah, praise God.
All right, if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 John. We're in 1 John chapter 2. We'll be in 3 through 6, so only 4 verses. So it would be good for you to turn in your Bibles there. We're only going to look at 4 verses so you can see it in context. 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 6. We're in a sermon series called Going Deeper with Jesus in the book of 1 John. And the title of today's message is Knowing Jesus. So as you turn to that passage, I wanted to kind of talk first a little bit about the idea of knowing somebody. Right, because when we talk about knowing somebody in the English language, it refers to a whole wide range of relationships that we have. So just one example, on one end of the spectrum would be a couple weeks ago, I was having a conversation with someone, or this was actually last week, a conversation with someone about Russell Wilson, starting quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. So if someone came up to me and asked me, do you know Russell Wilson? I would say, yeah, I know Russell Wilson. And what I would mean by that is that not that I have a relationship with him, but I understand who he is and to engage in that conversation. But all the way to the other side of the spectrum would be if someone came up to me and asked me, do you know Evangeline, Silas, and Levi? I would say, yeah, I know them. And what I would mean by that is that I have a deep relationship with them. I understand them. They understand me. It's a very special, deep relationship. And so when we see in Scripture the word know or the idea of knowing, it also is a wide range of a wide spectrum of the meaning of that. And I wanted to point out that in today's passage, only 4 verses long, but 4 times the word know appears. And every time that the word know appears, it's referring to the deepest kind of knowing. The Greek word there is gnosko. It refers to a deep kind of knowing. In fact, in other places of Scripture, it's talking about the husband and wife relationship, that most intimate, deep kind of knowing that we could have on this earth. It's talking about that kind of knowing. And so Apostle John has this word to the early church. Certainly God has it for us about knowing Jesus. So the question that we're answering this morning is, how can we truly know Jesus? And I wanted to say that this is a very important question for the early church. Apostle John wrote this letter that began to circulate amongst the churches in the first century times because there was darkness in the church. There was a teaching called Gnosticism that was teaching them that they needed some other kind of knowing. They needed to know some other kind of secret, not Jesus, not salvation, not forgiveness of sins, some other kind of knowing. And Apostle John was writing to say, it's not that other kind of knowing. It's about truly knowing Jesus. And Apostle John began to speak to the early church about them truly knowing Jesus. For us in this day and age, it's also an issue, right? This is the information era. There's lots of knowledge out there. You could Google just about anything if you want to find out about something. This past week, I needed to download a Facebook video. I didn't know how to do it. Job and Angela actually sent me a link of a step-by-step tutorial of how to do it. I'm going to show you that video later, by the way. And so you could Google anything, and you could YouTube anything to find out about it. And we could begin to rely on knowledge for saving us or salvation. And Apostle John was saying to the early church, and God's saying to us, it's not about some other knowledge, as much knowledge as that there is out there, but it's about truly knowing Jesus. And Apostle John begins to outline to the early church, and God outlines to us how we can truly know Jesus. So let's read 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 6. I put it up here in the NASB. I just thought it'd be a useful, helpful translation this morning to understand this passage. Notice I highlighted the words know. Again, this is the most intimate kind of knowing. And just to make note of where those are in today's passage. Okay, let's read it out loud together. 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 6. Let's read it out loud. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. So I just want to make note of verse 3. I just read it again. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And so just from this verse, we could come to the conclusion that's okay, the way that we know Jesus then is that we would obey his commandments. We just find all his commandments in scripture. We begin to obey them. We do the things God calls us to. Then we would know him. But I just want to point out what Jesus had to say. So maybe you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. It's a Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus speaking. And what Jesus has to say about that idea. So Matthew chapter 7, 22 to 23. I again highlight the word new or know. And the idea is, again, that this is the same word, gnosko, deepest kind of knowing. Here's what Jesus had to say about knowing him. Okay, can we read this out loud together as well? Matthew 7, 22 to 23. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is Jesus speaking. So Jesus was clearly saying that these people who did follow his commandments, I mean, they prophesied, they drove out demons, they performed many miracles. He was saying that he didn't know them. At the most intimate level, he did not know them. They did not know him. So certainly the means to knowing Jesus is not following his commandments. It could be the result of knowing Jesus, but it is not the means to know Jesus. So the question would be, well, what is the means to know Jesus? Does John speak into this? Let's look at verse 5 of today's passage. It says, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. So it is saying that the means to knowing Jesus is that the love of God would be truly perfected in us. That would be the means. The result would be that we begin to follow Jesus' commands. That's certainly there in the passage. But the means of knowing Jesus is to have the love of God perfected in us. Let me put it like this for point number one. How can we truly know Jesus? Receive deeply of God's perfect love. I wanted to show you a Facebook video today. This video went viral last week and this week. And so you might have seen it. It's a video of a newborn baby Azariah, who was adopted. This is his adoptive family. This is the placement ceremony. So baby Azariah was brought into the room and put into the arms of his parents for the first time. And so I want to show you this video. It's about 2 minutes and 45 seconds. I warn you ahead of time, it's kind of shaky, the home video. But I think it reflects well what John was trying to convey in this passage to the early church about knowing Jesus, knowing God, receiving the love of the Heavenly Father. So let's watch this video, and then I'm going to connect it in more with this passage. So, baby Azariah at his placement ceremony.
Camera's ready. Here it comes.
Tells us that just even as earthly fathers love and give good gifts to their children, how much more the Heavenly Father that He loves and He gives good gifts to us. This was the point that Apostle John was trying to make to the early church, that God certainly wants to make to us. And I wanted to say, if you could imagine, as horrible as it is, but if you could imagine there was an evil-intentioned person that walked into that placement ceremony and actually went and tried to snatch away baby Azariah from his parents and begin to steal him away. If we were there at that ceremony, what would we do? And I know we would scream. We would do something. Some of us would probably physically get up and do something about that, because that's not okay. It's not okay to take away this precious child away from their father's arms. And I want to say that Apostle John was making this point to them because there was some other knowing, some other teaching that was trying to come into the Christian church to steal them away from the Father's arms. And Apostle John was writing to the early church, and God included this in the scripture, to say that he is not okay with that. And so there's Gnosticism that was happening in the early church. Certainly it's not like that. It's not that for us, but the Bible tells us that Satan is the one to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's all sorts of other things that could be in our lives that's trying to steal us away from the Father's love. Things of the stress that maybe even some of us are dealing with this morning. Maybe some health concerns, financial concerns, family relationship concerns, relationship concerns, friendship concerns, work situations, school situations, all sorts of things that the enemy uses to try to steal us away from the Father's arms. And I just want to speak the truth of Scripture to us, what John was trying to get across to the early church, that we need to say we are not okay with that. We are not okay with the enemy coming in to steal us away from the Father's arms, from the Father's love. This morning at the end of service, we will sing this song in response, How He Loves Us. And we will take the time and the focus and the prayer to say no to those things that are trying to steal us away from the Father's love, from the Father's arms, and to bring ourselves back to the Father's arms, to the Father's love. That's how we would truly know Jesus. But I think we need to be aware that there is an enemy. As horrible as it is, but as horrible as the enemy is, that he is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He is out to find a way to steal us away from the Father's arms. And listen, if he's succeeding this morning, I just want to speak the truth of Scripture over your life. And in Jesus' name, I say no to that, and yes to bringing us back to the Father's love today. That's what we need. That's what the early church needed. That's what this church needs. That's what we need this year. That's what we need to fulfill God's vision. That's what we need to see more people get baptized, is we need to bring ourselves back to the Father's arms. Let Him love us so that we would know Him, so that we would go and do His commands. Certainly there's a word in this scripture about receiving deeply of the Father's love, but I also want to show us in this scripture that if wasn't a one-time thing or a two-time thing or a three-time thing, but take a look at what it says in verse 6. It says, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. I just want to point out the word abides. Excuse the formatting here. Abides. It switched. Apostle John switched from the word know, and he switched it to abides in verse 6. He already made the point. Listen, you got to know. You need to gnosko. You need to know. At the most intimate level, you got to know Jesus. But he said he changed it to abide in verse 6. It means continue to remain in the Father's arms. See, I think you would agree that baby Azariah doesn't need to just be held this one time or two times or three times or 100 times or 1,000 times, but that he needs to be continued to be held and loved by his Father to healthily grow. And I know that there are exceptions with God's grace, but in general, we all need to be held and loved by our fathers on an ongoing, continuous basis in order to grow healthily. And listen, there's this word for us, because some of us could be here and be like, well, I've experienced a father's love before. And let's say, let's not let the enemy steal, kill, and destroy us. We need to be in the Father's arms today, right now, and we need it ongoing. As soon as we walk out the door, we're going to need it tomorrow. We might need it more tomorrow on Monday when we go back to work and school and all of the things of the world begin to come its way. And I just want to encourage us, and we will take the time at the end of service to really have this time where it's time, focus, and prayer. Bring us back to the Father's love. But I want to bring this exhortation today that this coming week, and when we begin to enjoy Jesus, when we spend time with Jesus, when we do the VOH downtime, we need to continue to have that time, energy, focus, prayer, and saying, I am bringing myself back to the Father's love. And I need to keep on doing it over and over again. I'm not going to let the enemy win. I'm going to bring myself back to the Father's arms, to the Father's love in a continuous way. I'm going to abide in him. Now, certainly, so as point number two, it is how can we truly know Jesus, continue to receive of God's perfect love. Certainly there is this word in this passage that Apostle John gives to the early church. We need to receive deeply of the Father's love. We need to be in his arms, etc. But I think clearly in this passage, in these four verses, there is a call to obey Jesus' commands. There is a call to walk according to his word, to answer the call of Jesus. And so I wanted to bring us to verse 6 again and point out the word walk. Now last week when I preached in the previous chapter, I mentioned that the word walk there was a Greek word that every other time that it was used in the New Testament, and by the way, this is the same word, same Greek word, every other time it's used in the New Testament, it's talking about a supernatural walking. Yeah, the most famous one was Jesus walking on water. It was about the lame man who was told to get up and pick up your mat and walk. It was supernatural. It wasn't sheer effort. It wasn't sheer willpower. Jesus is not calling us to walk and just do it on our own and just, you know, to just barrel through and to plow through and to just do the best that we can. Certainly there's truth in that, but I'm just saying that's not the word here. The word here was, I'm calling you to walk. I'm calling you to walk in the way that Jesus walked. I'm telling you it's supernatural. You need an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. This is what John was saying to the early church. Certainly God is saying this to us. Let me put it like this for point number three. How can we truly know Jesus? Point number three, walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Walk in the same manner that Jesus did, in order to obey his commands. I felt like the Lord gave me an image. Maybe it's because there's a blizzard happening on the East Coast. That my family is, I have some in the D.C. area and the New York area. And so maybe this is the reason that I had this image. But I thought of when I was a kid, you know, growing up in the East Coast, I had to walk through snow. And some of you that have, you know, been in the cold weather climates or maybe on vacation somewhere would relate to this. I think all of us could picture this, though. When you walk through snow and it's really deep, like it is right now on the East Coast, it's really difficult, if not impossible, to walk through the snow. But if someone had come ahead of you and had walked through that same path and had packed down the snow and treaded the way, it would be relatively easy for you to walk down that path because they had paved the way, cleared the way, packed down the snow, relatively easy path. I think this is the image that Jesus is giving us. That we need to be ones that are in alignment with where Jesus is going, and that as we go and as we walk, it's supernatural we're following in the footsteps of Jesus. But I do want to point out, Listen, there's other passages of Scripture, right, that talk about that we need to walk in step with the Spirit. Because we might be in a place right now where we're just trying to barrel through down a path that Jesus never called us to go down. It is not packed down. Jesus has not cleared the way in that path. He has cleared the way down this path. He has paved the way, trodden down the snow, packed down the snow. We can walk through, but we need to be in alignment where Jesus is walking. This morning you might be here, and there's different things that God calls you to. Most of us will not be called to literally walk on water like Jesus was, but we are called to other things. Some of this morning have challenges right in front of us this morning. Things of calling in ministry, things of evangelism, things of loving some people that might be seemingly unlovable, situations of breaking bad habits, situations of ministry in the church, situations of giving financially, whatever the case might be. There are certain things that we know that Jesus has called us to this morning, and those things in front of us might seem really difficult. It might seem like a mountain of snow is in front of us. How could we possibly go down? And I just want to lead us in response to this passage this morning. In response to what Apostle John was saying, certainly what God is saying. Say, Jesus, help me to walk in step with you so that I can accomplish those things you call me to. That would be a simple but powerful prayer for some of us this morning. With these seemingly impossible things in front of us, we would say, Jesus, help me to walk in step with you so that I can accomplish those things. Would you bow your heads with me in response to prayer to God's word? At this time, I'll ask the worship team if you can come up, prayer team if you can come up at this time as well. Would you just keep your eyes closed and heads bowed in this time, just to make this a private moment for people to respond to God's word. The first prayer is for those of us who are in seemingly impossible situations where we know God has called us to do something. Again, it could be just a million different things that Holy Spirit speak to you, but it just might be even pressing on your mind and heart this morning. Things that you know you need to do. Things you know that God has called you to do. Seemingly impossible, mountain of snow in front of you. Would you pray this prayer in response to God's word? Jesus, help me to walk in step with you so that I can accomplish those things you call me to. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Just raise your hand all the way up and then down. That's you this morning. You're praying that prayer. Jesus, help me to walk in step with you so that I can accomplish those things you call me to. Just hand all the way up and then down. That's just you just communicating with God. That's just you responding to his word. Father, we just pray for every hand that's raised in every situation that represents. We just pray in response to your word that calls us to walk in the manner that you walk. We just say, Jesus, help us to walk in step with you to accomplish the things that you have called us to. For this next portion of time, as we respond to God's word, and we're going to sing the song, How He Loves Us. That was the song that was playing in the background of the video. And we're just going to take this time, this focused time, and say we're bringing ourselves back to the Father's arms. We're saying no to the other things that want to pull us away from the Father's love. Just place ourselves in the Father's arms. Just let him love us. Many of you know the words of this song, and so I would encourage you, just keep your eyes closed if you can, if you know the words, just be in the Father's love and to be in the Father's arms. Let's all stand together as we close out. If you would just put your hands out, palms up to heaven, and I just want to pray for us. For this specific thing as we respond to him in this way. So I just pray in Jesus' name this morning. We say no to the things that would pull us away from the Father's arms in Jesus' name. And I pray this for every single person who is here. We say no to the stresses and the worries of this life and the different things that the tactics of the enemy that want to pull us away from the Father's arms. We just say no to those things in Jesus' name. And we just say we are being brought back to the Father's arms right now, in Jesus' name. Love of God, be released upon your children this morning in tremendous measure, extra measure of your love, of the Father's love upon your children today. We are back in the Father's arms. I praise you for that, God. I praise you for that. We are in your love. You love us. You love us, and we worship you for it. And just, we're just going to sing this song in response. Let it be your prayer. Let it be your invitation. Let it be your declaration. We are in the Father's love. Our prayer team is going to be here. We'd love to pray for any and all needs, so this time is for that as well. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Father God, we just love on your kids this morning.